The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, divided up his clothes, and cast lots to see what each would get.
It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourselves." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
If you've got your Bibles with you, would you turn to that passage we read right at the very beginning of our time together in Mark chapter 14. You know, one of the problems with Good Friday, I guess, one of the problems with Good Friday is that we've become very, very accustomed to the cross. I guess for some of you here, it's a bit of jewelry, perhaps. For others around our country, it's an icon that people will bow down to. For others, it's a talisman that maybe you stick on your rear mirror of your car to check you're not going too fast. It's a lucky charm. Do you know, that's exactly what a lot of people think about the cross. But you know, when the Apostle Paul wrote, when he wrote in Corinthians, he wrote there some really important words. He writes in Corinthians 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, he says the cross is something which is an offense to some. He uses a word. He uses a Greek word, which is scandalon. And if you know anything about Greek, scandalon means a trap or something you might fall into. If that sounds familiar, it's where we get our word scandalous from. You see, the cross, for many, in Jesus' day, was absolutely scandalous. It was something that neither the Jews, nor the Romans, nor Jesus' own disciples could really understand that a Messiah, that the Son of God would actually go to. It was reserved for those who were the worst of the worst, the scum of the earth. For Jesus to go to a cross was scandalous. But Paul carries on in Corinthians and he says, not only is it a stumbling block to some, it's foolishness to others. He uses another Greek word, moronoi. And he says to the Greeks, to the educated, sophisticated Greeks, this was nothing more than a joke. Again, that Greek word is one we get our English word from, moron. That it was a moronic joke that a deity should die in such a way. The Greeks thought it was hilarious that God should die. Yet, in the very next verse, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, to those who know the truth about the cross, it is the power and the wisdom of God that is completely different for the Christian. It should be completely different for us this morning as we come on this Good Friday to remember the cross that we know maybe so much about. Perhaps we've lost the message in the melee of everything else. That passage we read, and our three friends read for us right at the beginning. Just want to look really briefly at Mark's account. What does it tell us about the cross? What does it tell us about the message of the cross? Verses 20, 24 and 25. It says this message is a message of absolute torment. Have you ever stopped to consider what Jesus went through? I'm sure you probably have on occasions. He was crucified, literally staked out. That's what it means. The English word from crucified is excruciating. That was the point of the cross. It was supposed to be excruciating. And the cross was there. It was scientifically designed. The whole process, from the end of the court case to the death of the victim, it was scientifically designed to bring the maximum pain to the human body that it could possibly hold. Those who were trained in flogging, those who were trained in crucifixion, knew what they were doing because they were trained to bring people to the edge of extinction. But only the edge. Consider the physical pain. Isaiah, the prophet in Isaiah 53, when he describes in those first five verses Jesus' pain, he says it is unimaginable what Jesus went through. And consider what happened before that. The Bible is so clear. He was scourged. Look up scourging. Google scourging when you get home. Mark 15, 15. He was beaten, Matthew 27. He was spat upon, Matthew 26. His beard was pulled out, Isaiah 50. He was crowned with thorns, Matthew 15, 17. He was sentenced and had to carry his cross. The Via Dolorosa is known as the way of suffering. 650 yards of cobblestones that you dragged the cross, which effectively, at least the crossbeam, was effectively the weight of a sleeper or half a railway sleeper. Dragged, having been beaten and scourged to within an inch of your life. What about when he was crucified? On the cross. What about the taunts that were there to humiliate? Those who were crucified became the playthings of their enemies who gathered like vultures around the base of their cross. Think of the words. He was mocked according to the scriptures. Verses 26 to 32 tell us what happened. He was mocked. They railed against him is an old word, which means effectively they beat him with words. They blasphemed against him, said evil against him, wagged their fingers at him, shouted at him. He was taunted. What was men's normal reaction to that on the cross? The usual reaction was that they urinated on those who were below them because they had no other way of retaliation. Did Jesus know? He was taunted. And what was one of the worst taunts? He saved himself. He saved others, rather, but he can't save himself. Were the religious leaders referring to Lazarus? He can raise Lazarus. He can't save himself. Why would anybody do that? The scriptures are clear. He loved the lost sheep. He loved you. And he loved me. And he went to a cross. It's not a trinket. It's not a bit of jewelry. It's not a talisman. It's the power of God to salvation. A symbol that God loved us. For the second thing, back in Mark, verses 33 to 36, this is a message of transfer. This is a message of transfer. Man had ridiculed him, beaten him, belittled the Lord of life. And then I think it was Rachel who read, darkness comes. One commentator says this, God turned out the lights on the cross. It's as if God was saying, you've mocked him enough. During those moments of darkness, those hours of darkness, every sin, every wrong thought, action, deed that I have done, that you have done, was laid upon Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him who had no sin, sin for us. Isn't that amazing? You are allowed to nod during this sermon. Okay. Isn't that amazing? He became sin for us. The undiluted wrath of Almighty God poured out on him. I think that is stunning. Because of the cross, because of the transfer of my sin onto Jesus, the debt is paid. Those who entrust their lives to him are washed clean. That's redemption. My sin transferred to Christ when we receive him into our hearts. The righteousness that we have is only because of him. Don't miss the message. The cross, it's of torment, but what a transfer there is. God transferring our sin. But it's also a message of hope. That good news that we've talked about, the Good Friday that we're in, why is it a message of triumph? Well, again, in those hours on the cross, Jesus dismissed his spirit. You know, Jesus wasn't murdered by the Jews. He wasn't murdered by the Romans. In fact, he wasn't murdered at all. Not in God's plan. That's what that video said, wasn't it? Those who nailed him to the cross thought it was a murder. But no, it wasn't. It was a pre-designed death. Jesus dismisses his spirit. The words Jesus uses on the cross, they are not words of a victim, but of a victor. They are the words of a God at that very moment whose mission was finished. That's what he says, isn't it? It is finished. Tetelestai is the word he uses. Completed. Job done. Now into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus wasn't just snuffed out. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross. Do you know, one of the greatest tragedies today, this Good Friday, is that up and down our country, in our pulpits, even in our own town, there will be those this morning who will deny and say that the only purpose of the cross of Jesus Christ was to demonstrate God's love for us. It's described as modern Christianity. That Jesus only died to show that God loved us. Do you know the problem I have with that? It empties the cross of any purpose, point, or power. If Jesus just died to show us God's love, it becomes a mystery. It becomes something that is a pointless, weird exercise. The only way I can explain it is, let's say I'm sitting having a cup of coffee on the banks of the fast-flowing River Severn, and there I am with my latte in my hand, and suddenly Richard Lord comes running past me and says, "I love you," and jumps into the River Severn and loses his life. Everyone would go, "What's the point of that?" The point is, we weren't sitting on the banks of a river. We were in a river drowning. And Jesus came to rescue us. That's the point of the cross. Now, I know Good Friday is supposed to be simple and straightforward, but I want to give you a theological phrase, okay? It's a theological phrase that you might wince at to start with, but this is so important. Penal substitutionary atonement. Okay? Penal substitutionary atonement. If you were in my small group Tuesday morning, you'll already go, "Uh-huh, know about that." Let me explain what that is. Penal. There is a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. That's penal. That's the punishment. Substitutionary. Substitutionary, that is in my place. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "For what I received from you as first importance, I now pass on to you. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." This is God-centered. An atonement means reconciliation. Romans 3:25-26. This is a paraphrase of those verses. God presented him as a sacrifice to justify those who have faith in him. Why is that so important? Because that is what the cross is about. Not just the love of God. You see, the cross signaled the defeat of the four things that haunt humanity. Jesus' death signaled the defeat of Satan. Jesus' death signaled the defeat of sin. Jesus' death signaled the defeat of separation. And Jesus' death signaled the defeat of the sting of death. Now, if you're looking at any point to shout hallelujah, this is a good one. That's great news, isn't it, Christian? You don't need to fear any four of those. Jesus died that we might live. Last thing, it's a message of testimony. Look what happened in verse 39 of Mark 15. Jesus dies on the cross, and he dies there for far more than, when we look at it, it's far more than just death, blood, horror. He died there as a place of testimony, where God made his greatest declaration, Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ's greatest work was accomplished at the cross. How do we know that? When he raised Lazarus from the dead, when he healed the blind, when he fed 5,000 people, Jesus accomplished and helped individuals and communities one at a time. When Jesus Christ died on a cross, he accomplished for the whole of humanity, for all who will come to faith in him, salvation. That is the greatest thing. The death of Jesus was not in vain. It had a point and it had a purpose, and it's seen at Calvary. The thief was given life eternal through faith in Christ. The pagan Roman centurion who stood and watched hundreds and participated in hundreds of crucifixions sees the Son of God and realizes the truth. And for generation after generation after generation, those who have come in repentance, recognizing Jesus for who he is and asking him to be Lord of their lives, have their sins washed clean, have a hope eternal, and can look at the cross. It's not simply a religious symbol. It is the power of God unto salvation. Do you believe that? No, I'm not certain you believe that. Do you believe that? If you're a Christian, so we should. Yes, we come in solemnity to look at the cross today. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to Sunday, aren't you? Where we remember the resurrection. I hope you're going to join us, 7 o'clock, top of Grinsell, Ace. And then at the Cellar Church in Ellesmere and here at Wem to celebrate and rejoice. But let's not just mourn the death of Jesus as if it was pointless. Here is a cross we look at and we just marvel at God's goodness for us.